Live from New England Pre-Modern News, I am Bradley Stone with the leading stories that we're following today. Bogardin's hammer has been missing since MTG Vegas, and he asked that all planeswalkers throughout the multiverse check their graveyards for this priceless artifact. Birds are on the rise in the metagame, and their spokesperson, Commander Isha, has held a press conference demanding more representation in the meta. The Mass Pike is closed after an 18-wheeler full of shrimp flipped, dumping its Phyrexian payload onto the highway, killing many and leaving traffic backed up for miles. But the main story that we're following tonight is coming out of Boston, Massachusetts. Pre-modern players were left stunned and reeling after LobsterCon tickets sold out in a matter of seconds. Many prominent members of the community have been left displaced and frustrated after the turn of events. Local authorities have begun rounding up and arresting members of the Duress crew, though many are still at large. Notably, Nicholas Mayo, Infamous Head Boss, has gone into hiding, and Billy was spotted skulking along the shoreline in Michigan. The Swedish dictator Martin Berlin has spoken out publicly, advocating for the execution of all members for their malfeasance. In the wake of this catastrophe, a power vacuum has engulfed in the Northeast as many crews step up and try and lay claim for supremacy. The Punk-Ass Zoo crew, greatest rivals of Duress crew, have emerged as the front runners, laying siege to the Dante and entrenching themselves within the fortress. Reports are circulating, however, that a tenuous alliance has been formed between the Redline Tree Folk and the naval forces of the Rishonen Port Authority. No sightings of the deranged hermits have been made yet, and it is assumed that they are deep within the wilderness, completely unaware of the events taking place. That's it for now, but tune in later tonight as we continue our coverage on this story.
Welcome, everybody. Holy shit. This has been the most crazy week in, like, pre-modern history probably ever. I'm still stunned. Like, obviously, for anybody that's been living under a rock, hello. Welcome to the Hardcast. My name is Jay.
My name is Bradley Stone. And coming out of retirement a little bit early.
True. Yeah, welcome back to my podcast.
Indeed.
This past weekend, we had registrations for LobsterCon, and we expected that it would go pretty quickly. Last year, we sold out in about 3 or 4 hours, but I think everybody was under the assumption that, like, yeah, if you want it, you'll be able to get a ticket. I think that was, like, the big thing.
Yeah.
It was, like, if you really wanted it, you know, they might sell out in an hour or whatever, but as long as you're there on time, you'll be fine. Holy shit. None of us expected. Literally, I was in Discord in a call with Nick, and noon hit, and all of a sudden, 100 people were registered, and I was like, all right, the first 100 people were super excited. You know, that's to be expected. And then 200 hit, and I was like, all right, it's slowing down now. And then it ticked over to 1201, and then we were capped. And I just, before I even knew it, there were 200 people on the wait list.
Yeah.
It was...
It's so funny, because you guys went on Discord to, like, hang out.
Yeah.
And, like, watch sales roll through.
Exactly. I assumed we'd be there for a couple hours.
Just literally gone in an instant.
Okay. Well, that was fun. So, why did it happen the way that it did?
Well, here, let's back up slightly here.
Sure,
so, so, this event sold out like that, and obviously... like temperatures were slightly hot throughout the day. There was a lot of talk online. And
actually, it was quite cold outside.
Yeah. Anyways, we as Duress crew were basically trying to stay silent, I think is a good way to put it. And
I was tweeting up a storm. So
okay. Yeah. Well, I was staying silent and just kind of like wanted us to come together.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Discuss everything before we started making public declarations or public announcements or anything like that.
Definitely.
Fair to say. So. We've been slightly quiet since everything happened, and obviously there's been a lot of questions that we are going to try and address today. But the main thing is that, you know, we wanted to meet up, which we did last night. We went over to Pat's house. We had a nice little din-din. We hung out. We chatted. We came to some conclusions, and hopefully we're going to shore all this up, answer your questions, and move forward with this.
Yeah, and I think that... I guess to just kind of lay some groundwork. Remember, before all of this, we do this for the love of the game. We are not You know, we don't do this for a job. We are all volunteers that are just trying to raise some money for charity, trying to make sure that people can play some of the greatest format and have a good time. So I know some people might be like, hey, just, you know, I don't know, like rent out a warehouse in Boston. That's cheap, right?
Right. Well, we'll get
yeah,
into
all
that.
Right. All right. Sorry, I'm jumping the gun. But
yeah, yeah.
Keep in mind throughout all of this, we're volunteers. Smile.
Yes.
So where do you want to start? So
yeah, we'll start with the facts about what actually happened leading up to registration, I think.
Sure.
Right. So the first thing to say is that we swapped a spice rack this year, for better or for worse, mostly for better.
Oh, incredible.
We made the switch in the way that players registered for a quality of life upgrade on our part. The old way of doing things is that players filled out a Google form and they sent a PayPal on an honor system, and then somebody had to go through and match up, you know, 330 payments to names and make sure that everybody had registered properly. It was a huge pain in the ass. So we swapped to Spice Rack to try and automate this process, which worked out mostly well with a couple hiccups, mainly in the fact that the last 20 spots sold out to, or sorry, the last spot sold out to 20 people all at once.
Yeah, so this is kind of just like a, you know, not to get too in the weeds on the technical stuff, but a lot of, like, there's a big difference between just a payment system that just registers you for an event and something like a like what Ticketmaster has, where everybody gets stuffed into a queue and then it makes sure that, you know, each person gets allotted exactly the one ticket. It's generally events that go through, whether it's Spice Rack or Melee or whatever, these kind of systems, they're not expected to sell out in a minute.
Right.
It's they're generally, you know, something that sells out over a course of weeks or months or whatever. It's just not built for like the split second routing that needs to happen. And yeah, I guess it's kind of to be expected. It happens. Obviously, we're not going to start selling tickets through fucking Ticketmaster and,
right,
you know, let them take a 40% cut or whatever. And also, we're not going to do it through Google Forms when, you know, all of a sudden we have just like 6,000 people that PayPal us on an honor system all at once, and we have no way of figuring out, or like, when was the cutoff?
Exactly.
You know, when am I supposed to, you know, we'd be still trying to sift through all that and figure that out. So for anybody that was, you know, saying that like, oh, Spice Rack sucked or whatever, like, it really did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Did what it says on the label. But you just have to remember that, like, when 1,000 people are trying to buy tickets to something all at exactly the same time, that's a pretty tough routing and you know software problem to figure out. And sometimes the tools meet the needs of the problem and sometimes they don't.
So. Right. Yep. And then, I mean, I guess the other thing is we knew that this event was going to be jammed up leading up to this.
For sure.
Just a fact. We talked about it on the year-end wrap-up last year, I believe.
We talked about it mostly in, if anybody wants more information, by the way, on this event and also a little bit of a teaser about stuff to come. We did talk a lot about this in the State of the Crunion.
That's what it was.
Yeah, which was about midway through the year or something, I think.
Yeah.
It was a few months ago, and you can find that episode on the Hardcast. And yeah, it was, we definitely talked about some of this. We knew it was going to sell out. We knew it was going to be quick. Again, nobody knew this quick, but
yeah, it was a known issue that the Dante can't quite accommodate the growing player base of pre-modern.
100%.
Unfortunately for us, you know, it just wasn't quite feasible to go after a new venue this year. Last year was our first time running an event of this size. We were super drained, burned out, exhausted afterwards. And basically the easiest solution was just running it back for one more year. And in that year, because we now had the experience and the know-how and the elbow grease and all of that of running these events, like, this year would be way smoother for us and way easier. And in light of that, we would have the energy to pursue other venues and look into changes and alternatives and stuff like that. But, you know, it's been known for a while that this event was going to sell out, that it was going to be super popular, that we need a new venue, we need a bigger boat. And, you know, we're going to get a little bit more into that, but we're working on it. But I just, like, wanted to lay the groundwork that this was, you know, anticipated.
Yeah, it was expected for sure. But I don't think it also was anticipated with the acknowledgement that any amount of change would be such a drastic undertaking that it really just wasn't, I don't want to say not worth it for us, but especially before, we didn't have the data for, like, the waitlist data. I'll probably harp on this, huge. Seeing that we've almost, you know, hit, you know, a double, you know, we almost doubled the waitlist is almost as long as the registration
list. Right.
And that is huge, because now we know, all right, like, it's not just that we're filling up really quick and maybe we could fit 50, 100 more people. Like, all right, we could run a 600 person event.
Easily. And
that is huge data, because it really dictates, I mean, what our budget is, what our, you know, how much we're willing to spend, how much space we need. All of this stuff needed to be calculated out. And especially in Boston, which I think a lot of people want to keep, you know, the tournament, it's definitely a hotbed of pre-modern activity. In Boston specifically, if we look to scale up kind of like one of the next steps up, we're looking at a 10x in price. So all of a sudden we're starting to look at, you know, $50,000, $60,000 for the weekend. And we can't just do that on vibes.
Right.
Like, we needed to know how many tickets could we sell if we had a larger venue before we actually go signing contracts, committing to those larger venues.
Right.
So I think knowing that, like, this inflection point of pre-modern growing and us still being stuck, quote unquote, in a smaller venue, it was going to happen. It, whether it was this year, whether it was next year, whether it was in 5 years, it was going to happen at some point. It happened sooner than later. Which
happened in 90 seconds.
Yeah, happened in a lot less time, but I think that it was going to happen no matter what, because you can't really, you can't scale up on purely on vibes, purely on just like, oh, I think we're going to be able to fill this.
Yeah.
That's an easy way to look to lose a lot of money. And it's one thing, also remember, come back to it, it's one thing for a company that maybe has some amount of wiggle room, you know, and losses kind of budgeted into their expenditures. We're doing this for free. Like, we can't just take a $15,000 loss on,
right,
on renting out a venue. It doesn't work that way. We, all of a sudden, we'd be just screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. So in light of this, let's talk about refunds a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I guess, should first talk about the emergency cases, which are, if you're on the wait list and got charged, that was not supposed to happen. I think what basically happened was that the website saw the event as open and said, hey, you've got a spot, and kicked you over to the payment processor. And then when the payment processor completed your transaction and kicked you back, the, you know, in that time period, the event filled, closed. And so Spice Rack put you on the wait list, but you had already paid. Obviously, yeah, like I said, that shouldn't have happened. We are going through and, like, we have to do some manual refunding on the back end. I'm in talks with Spice Rack right now. Hopefully that should be sorted out today. If not, next couple of days. I apologize for the delays.
Right.
Shouldn't have happened.
Luckily, it was only like 30, 20 people,
something
in
like that
range.
Yeah.
So not too bad. So refunds for other people. that have just registered for the event. So, you know, the policy in the past has always been that LobsterCon was non-refundable. The money goes to charity. There's obviously a completely different scenario playing out this year in comparison to previous years, and that registration used to be open for weeks, if not months. It was really easy for people to like make adjustments and talk to their friends and like figure out, you know, how many people were going. But now everything just sold out in an instant. Like, it was so fast, and a lot of play groups have been split. Like, a lot of people had made arrangements with one another, you know, like 10 of us are going to go out and we're going to split an Airbnb. And now maybe 3 out of 10 people were able to get in. So I'm very sympathetic to this as somebody who's traveled a lot for events. You know, other of the boys in the crew are also sympathetic to this. Like, 100%. We go out to events as well. We totally understand how, you know, this is kind of throwing a wrench in people's plans and is not ideal. So we are going to be opening up a refund window starting when this episode comes out and going until January 16th. This is about 3.5 weeks to 4 weeks, basically a month, that people can drop from the event and just get a refund. The refund will be automatic through Spice Rack, so you don't have to do anything besides hit that drop button, and you will be refunded your money, and you can get out, and we can get more people in off the wait list. The major point to consider for this is that once you drop and once you're refunded, there's no walking it back. If you decide that you want to come, you're going to be put on the wait list behind 200 people, and you likely won't be able to get in. So if you are dropping, you just need to be extremely 100% sure that that is what you want to do, and do it.
Yeah. Obviously, this makes sense for a lot of reasons. Like Brad said, obviously sympathetic to anybody that, you know, maybe they got tickets and their friend that they're traveling with didn't or whatever. But also just like there's so much demand on the wait list that in the past, like if you had a ticket and you were 15% to be able to go to LobsterCon, well, if there's no refunds, there's absolutely no incentive for you to like pass on your ticket and then, you know, not go because there's a small chance you might go. And so now, though, it's like if you're 15% to go, get your money back and pass on that spot to somebody who is guaranteed able to go and wants to go. I definitely want I want our actual tournament when LobsterCon happens to be as full as possible. We got to beat the Spaniards. And like last year, we sold out and 320 spots or whatever, that ended up dropping to day of the tournament, like 284. So there's a bunch of people that just life happens. Obviously, we get it. You can't make it. You know, the shit happens. But if you early enough, you know, you're able to foresee, hey, it actually looks like I'm not going to be able to make it this year, or I don't want to go because my friends aren't going, or what have you, definitely get your money back. Pass on that spot to somebody else because it makes way more sense than holding on to your ticket and just not showing up or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's get people in off the wait list. Obviously, we have, you know, 200 people or whatever on the wait list. I don't think we're going to get through all of them, but hopefully we can get a good chunk of people in.
Yep. And like I said, just be damn sure that you want to drop, because if you're dropping, there's no coming back from it. And the other thing too is that there won't be any transfers this year.
Yes, this is a big one. In the past, when we haven't really had a wait list, if you weren't able to go, it's like, oh, well, can I just like give my buddy my ticket? Absolutely hard no on that this year. We have, you know, we told people join the wait list for a reason. And so, yeah, it's really like we're going to try and get as many people in off that wait list as we can. So yeah, apologies, but the transferring to a buddy or whatever is just not going to work out this year.
Yep. Anything else before we move on to expectation management?
I don't think so. Not with refunds or anything.
Cool. All right. So the next thing to get into here is expectation management. A wise man once told me that the key to happiness in life is expectation management. And in order to keep y'all happy, we just want to tamper expectations right now. So there's been a lot of suggestions from the community about, you know, trying to fix the scenario that we're in, trying to make changes to the event. You know, the reality of the situation is that there won't be any changes for the event this year. There's no alternatives. There's no workarounds. There's no second venue or anything like that. Like, the event that we have planned is the event that we are going to be running.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, is the juice worth the squeeze? And is it also even possible?
Right.
A lot of venues, you know, if we wanted to do a smaller venue just to like split up the 2 days and then have people converge and then like not do the side events or whatever, like we did advertise this tournament as one thing, and to then completely 180 on that, make a bunch of changes just to try and fit in an extra 100 people or whatever, it just doesn't really make sense. Again, it sucks. I wish that this tournament could be for every single person who wanted to play, and that we could fit every single person that wanted to play in this event into the Dante. That would be amazing, but it's just not the reality that we live in. So we could potentially just rent a bigger venue. Well, no, not really. Again, venues in Boston are going to be $50,000-$60,000. Well, if you sell a bunch of tickets, you'll have that $60,000, and then you can just do that. Okay, well, we've already signed contracts. A lot of people don't even think about this. Like, we're 4 months from this event.
Right. It's like, coming up super fast.
It's going to be here before we know it. So changing a bunch of things is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, again, you talk about tampering expectations and not expecting something that's just not going to happen. But I do want people to have high hopes and high expectations for, like, the people that do get to go. And again, I am sorry that it's not everybody. But if you do have a ticket, it's going to be a fantastic fucking time.
It's going to be insane. Like, the energy is going to be through the roof.
It's going to be... So the thing that we are really focusing on, and that we've always focused on, is that making the event as good as possible. And right now, I think that means making the event as sick for the people that are able to attend it, and not just like, oh, well, you know, number go up if we can accommodate twice as many people, but everybody has only 30% as much fun because it's a poorly run event and at a scrapped together last minute venue.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. Yeah. So we do have to just kind of accept that for, you know, May of next year, this is what we've got. Let's do what we can with what we have. Let's put on a bang on show.
Right.
Let's have fun.
Yeah.
But,
and you made a good point too about how, you know, for every gray beard that's not able to come, we're now opening up a spot where somebody new is able to come in and experience LobsterCon for the first time and get that same feeling that all you old heads had once upon a time, right? Like, expand
yeah,
on that a little
yeah,
bit.
No,
you said
sure.
It better than I can.
Yeah, no, I think that it's important for everyone to remember that for every spot that some, you know, old person in the community who's been around forever and, you know, hasn't missed a LobsterCon or whatever, I truly do feel sorry. I am seriously, personally sad that every single person who is in that position can't attend. I really do wish, like, I want people to understand that I am being sincere.
Right. All of us. We all have a lot of friends that missed registration and won't be there.
And it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But I want people to remember that if you're an older person in the community, at some point, you know, think back to your first LobsterCon and just remember that, like, every single slot that didn't go to a person like you likely went to somebody who, maybe this is their first LobsterCon. Maybe they haven't even fucking played paper pre-modern yet. And you know, it's easy to be like, well, somebody like that doesn't deserve to go to LobsterCon. Like, I deserve to go because I've been with the community forever. And it's like, yeah, piss off. Because honestly, remember how important that first LobsterCon that you went to was in forming a bond for you with the format. Because, you know, everybody, like, when I just think of pre-modern, one of my highlights is thinking of my first LobsterCon.
Big
and
time.
How exciting it was, how much fun I had. And that just, that feeling of joy is just immensely tied to the format. And I think every opportunity that we can have to show that to new players is an awesome thing.
Absolutely.
So, yes, it sucks being a longtime community member. It sucks not getting a spot. But for every longtime community member that's not there, just remember that a new player is probably getting an opportunity to have that experience. And I think that's really important.
Agreed, man. And shit, if you think your LobsterCon experience is different, think about our LobsterCon experience. We don't even get to hang out and play anymore.
I know. Oh, my God.
We all started as attendees, and now, like, we're literally working all weekend.
Like, I think the last one, I literally just, like, woke up at, like, 5 a.m. each day and then, like, got back to the Airbnb at, like, 10 p.m. or, you know, midnight and just crashed
right.
and just did nothing other than huddled up in the library.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Walked away in the tower.
Yes, that's me.
All right, so we got through the bulk of it, I think. The main thing to talk about is basically looking forward into the future.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any other quick hit announcements or anything I want to say.
Well, we definitely got some announcements.
Oh, okay, you want to do those after?
But I mean,
talk about the future.
Yeah. Let's talk about the future a little bit. And I mean, obviously, let's just start with the big one, going back to the venue. Like, this is not going to be a problem in 2027.
100%.
Yeah.
I think for anybody that is saying, like, you know, this couldn't happen, this can't happen, this is just, it's unacceptable. Again, I agree. I don't think you're wrong. It's just understanding that this, in some way and at some point, had to happen.
Right.
We had to get to a point where we were too big for where we were. And because, again, you, like I said, you can't book a you know,
$50,000 venue on Vibes.
You can't book it on Vibes, exactly. Yeah. So if we had to outgrow our previous venue, and that single year where we did was going to suck. That I could have told you that 3 years ago.
Right.
You know, but, and we're here now, and we are living that reality right this very second. However, in the future, now that we know that the interest is there, we have some cool shit in store.
Big time.
I mean, like, we are already, as we're working on, and this is part of the reason why also I think it's not worth our time to, like, try and scramble to fix 2026 PM, because we're, in a lot of ways, like, we're already investing time and energy trying to plan things for whether it's the end of 2026 or into 2027. And that's where I'd much rather our time be spent.
Right.
Because
we have some sick prospects.
We have some sick, have some sick ideas. Not to get too far into it, but again, we definitely talked about it a bunch in the State of the Croonian. So go back and listen to that, and maybe you'll get some sick spoilers. But this, you know, if anybody is afraid of, like, oh, this is just going to become the standard for, you know, LobsterCon or big pre-modern events, I don't think it will be. No. If, and this is something, I guess I should preface this by saying, this is not something we've talked about amongst the crew, and so I'm just speaking as Jay right here, and don't quote me on any of this.
I'm plugging my ears.
Yeah,
right
now. No, but that. If, and I think this is a pretty reasonable take, that if this sort of energy and expansion and insane growth carries over to our regionals, with something we haven't even really talked about, I think we would consider getting a bigger venue for the regionals. But that's like a whole other can of worms. And as of right now, I'm hoping that Like, everybody wants to go to LobsterCon. It is the big pre-modern event of the year. I'm assuming that this kind of hype is localized to this. If it spills over and we start selling out our regionals in 30 seconds or whatever, we'll definitely...
Gonna get a bigger boat?
Yeah, we'll have to get a bigger boat, and we'll address that issue when it happens. But as of right now, this is the reality that we live in. We can totally fix this issue going forward in the future. It's not going to be like a constant. Don't think that, like, oh, every single event from here on out is going to sell out in a minute and I'll never be able to play pre-modern. Absolutely not true. Yeah. We are going to do our damnedest to make sure that everybody gets to play this format.
Yep. And there's some cool benefits that even come with new venues, like playing on Sunday.
That is true. That's a nice little
luxury right there.
Yeah, we don't have to block out mass from our schedules.
Right.
So yeah, there's a bunch of cool stuff. God, I was so jealous of, did you see from the Four Seasons Eternal Weekend Europe, apparently like the food fucking banger.
Yeah, they had like six food trucks outside.
Yeah.
And you just like went up to one central hub, placed your order, and then got to go pick it up at the food truck.
Was that how it worked? Yeah, that's so sick.
Yeah.
I just saw everybody talking about like, oh, this is like some of the best like food I've had, like never mind like convention food,
right,
but like that this is like top tier food.
Yeah, there's a lot of inspiration that I've been drawing on from events like that, and lots of things that I've been thinking about for the following year when we do expand this and go bigger. So yeah. I'm excited. I'm really excited for the future and what it holds and what we can do.
I think there's so many cool things that we can do. And this is one of the things that I encourage people in the community to, like, if you see something in another tournament or maybe you play another card game, maybe you're like, oh, you know, in Fab or Riftbound or whatever, like, oh, they do this really cool thing, like, let us know.
Yeah,
like, tell us, because I think that's super cool. And, you know, let us know where the Italian food trucks are.
Yeah,
so we can rent them.
Hell yeah. So I mean, I think that's pretty much it for looking forward into the future. Obviously, you know, we can only do so much in regard to that because we are planning this other event happening in 2026 right now. 2026, it's going to be insane. It's going to be amazing. The energy is going to be through the roof. The building's going to be freaking packed.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of good stuff coming up.
One other thing that I just want to plug about that, that if you are somebody who's big in the community and or not, and you're just somebody who's getting into pre-modern and you're not going to be able to make it to LobsterCon, remember, we are going to have Twitch streaming coverage the whole weekend, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
Yep.
I'm planning so many things. I'm really hoping to get like interviews and, you know, people down, like just like mobile camera setups to be able to like interview people on the floor and shit, and like be able to like just... I'm really, really excited about it. So if you are looking, if you have FOMO and you're like, damn, I really wish I was at the event and, you know, got to enjoy all this, come hang out in the stream in May next year, and it'll be fun.
Hell yeah. So let's see. Let's just go a little bit over a couple other things just to do with the tournament real quick. People on the wait list.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on the wait list and you get a nudge from Spice Rack to register for the event, your spot will be saved for 4 days.
Yep. So obviously, if you come off the wait list and you are not watching your emails, I really hope that we don't have any feel bads of like somebody missing the email. But so I really want to stress this, guys, make sure you're watching your email. If you get pulled, especially obviously, if you're like, you see that you're pretty low on the wait list. Because yeah, if you get pulled off the wait list and we send you an invitation to pay and register, and then we don't hear from you for 5, 6, 7 days or whatever, like, we're not going to be able to save your spot.
Right.
So it's just going to automatically, I think we're going to have it set up so like after 4 days, you just get dropped off the wait list and it's going to go to the next person.
Right.
absolutely would be a feel bad moment. It would fucking suck, which is why you need to watch your emails.
Yep. And I'll give the dates right now. It's going to be December 18th to January 16th that this window is open for refunds and that players on the waitlist can expect to get a nudge from Spice Rack for registering. The other thing that we want to plug for people that are attending and have already registered and all that, check out the hotel link in the announcement page. We have a block reserved. The rates this year are absolutely insane. They're yes. so good. It's so cheap.
Definitely much better than the past.
So the rooms are so cheap. Like we're staying in an Airbnb and we're basically paying the same price as what it would cost to split a hotel room with one other person.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you remember what the price was?
I think it's like $299 a night, right?
Yeah. I think it's under $300 for sure. And it's not that bad. And the rooms are nice. So definitely if you're looking, obviously, if you have a huge group, the Airbnbs generally are pretty decent, although they are fucking expensive, but they get snagged up quick.
Yep.
So definitely recommend the hotel block.
It's super close to the venue as well. I stayed in it for the first time for Old School this past year. It's literally a 5-minute walk from the Dante. Like,
is it that same one? I thought it was a different one than the one they used for Old School.
Don't quote me on it.
Yeah. But I think either way, it's they're both. Because there's like two Marriotts that are like both 2 minutes from the venue. So either way, it is very close.
Yep. What else do we have? I guess going forward after the refund window is when we will begin rolling out emails for side event registration, plus the form for proxies. So we're going to let this whole refund window run its course. Get people dropped, new people in, whatever. Once that is over, then we will begin sending out emails for the side events. I guess there was a bug in Spice Rack where it didn't prompt players to sign up for the side event that they wanted.
It should have asked people, like, which side event do you prefer to play in, but it didn't, so that's fine. We'll figure it out. So again, keep an eye on your email. This one a little bit less important if you're already registered, but still important.
Yep. And pretty sick for the players that are signed up as the proxies this year.
Yes.
We are allowing four proxies so you can play up to four proxies between the Fetchland event and the Unchained event. And we're going to be printing those out ourselves. So you're going to have a form that's going to be sent to you. You get to choose the card that you want, four copies of it. So a nice little memento for everybody that is coming to the tournament, nice little souvenir, and you know, they're going to look beautiful. So
yeah,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And, just a little bit, you know, more of an incentive to get people to experiment around with, you know, so especially for Unchained, that was the big one that we talked about previously that like, you know, we want people to play around with these cool banned cards, but, not all of them are, feasible for, you know, nobody's expected to go get four Yogwill for a single tournament.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't make sense. And some people rightfully pointed out, hey, like, why are you going to allow proxies for those cards but not for these cards? And honestly, fair. So yeah. We decided to kind of roll that whole proxy into because this is going to be the kind of like the swag that we give out, like it's the door prize. It's part of it. Part of it.
Yeah.
So
we're handing out door prizes.
All right. So door prizes as well, but these are part of the door prize swag. Everybody's going to get their playset of whatever card they choose. If you're playing whatever banned card or you're playing one of the fetch lands, we got you all set. So you don't need to go out and buy those cards.
Yep. Next up, artists. Hopefully we are going to have some announcements right around the corner for y'all in regards to artists. It's been really tough to schedule this year because there's a MagicCon going on the same weekend.
Yeah.
So a lot of artists that had expressed interest or said that they were willing to come kind of had to renege because they are already attending the MagicCon event. Whatever. Fair enough. We have a couple really prominent artists who were like right on the cusp of coming, and then a lot more emails have been sent out, invitations sent out, so we should hopefully have some more announcements on that end real soon.
Do you want to? You are locked on two, right?
We're locked on one right now.
Locked on one?
Yeah, okay. Donato Giancola is the first artist to fully commit, say yes, he will be there. Go check out his stuff on Scryfall. Order any cards that you want to get signed.
Hell yeah.
He's done some bangers. His art is beautiful. And I think that pretty much wraps it up. I guess the last thing to say is that, as always, LobsterCon the only people that are able to come to LobsterCon are the attendees. If you're not registered, mm-hmm. and you don't have a badge, don't show up.
Yeah, but please
that's
don't.
That's already known, and you know it's going to be harped on a million more times.
Yeah,
leading up
we're
to
like
event.
Likely already busting up against the fire code cap for the
right.
building.
Oh yeah,
so
that building is like packed beyond.
If we have people that are coming in just being like, "Oh, I'm just going to mill around or whatever," it's going to get way out of hand, too quick.
We would love to have you there. Obviously, we would love to have more people there, but that is just the reality of the situation. Anything coming up in the near future that you want to plug?
If anybody is curious about our, would this be the winter regional? Keep your ear to the ground. We wanted to get through registration and stuff. But I think the plan is likely a little bit later into the season, you know, like maybe February, March ish time. But we'll have a registration date. That we'll announce, and then we'll announce also, obviously, the date for the actual event. But hasn't been announced, though, if anybody's like, crap, did I miss it? Nope. We just wanted to get through LobsterCon registration and everything before we started worrying about that. So
we're a bunch of sickos.
Yeah, we are.
Regionals and LobsterCon.
I know. But we definitely want to also get the regional out of the way before... So we have a couple of months to
breathe.
To breathe, exactly, before LobsterCon.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't know if there are any like crazy things happening super soon that people need to be aware of.
Just the only thing on my radar right now is the Winter Ball in Rochester, New York that a bunch of us will be driving out to for the second year in a row.
I'd like to I missed it last year, but I'd love to try and get out.
Yeah,
For that. So
sick time, great venue, good hangs with dudes, cheap city to go visit. It's wonderful.
One other thing to just kind of let people know of things that are happening. Right now, probably at the time that you're listening to this, on Thursday, December 18th, are going to be the very first pre-modern challenges on MTGO. So if you don't know what challenge is, it's a like full tournament. You know, you play however many Swiss rounds, followed by a cut to top eight. The payout is really good. Now that MTGO has pre-modern, they said they were going to start running challenges. I believe it's going to be, tomorrow is Thursday, December 18th. There's one at like, just talking in Eastern 4 time.
9
yeah, like
a.m.
four. I think it's 4 a.m. and then like noon and then like 7 p.m. But I
can Volrath Shapeshifter is unbugged.
That's a huge one.
Operational.
So yeah, 4 a.m. Eastern time, noon Eastern, and then 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
So those are the pre-modern challenges. Also, something that I know there's some people, especially people that aren't like huge into Modo, might not know. During the holiday season, Daybreak does something called the All Access Pass. Basically, for $25, you can get a God account for like 2 or 3 weeks. So if you are somebody that maybe doesn't play a lot of or any Magic Online, but you want to try it out, you want to see if you like it, you want to just try different decks that you don't normally get to play in paper, see if you like them, you can run through a couple of leagues or whatever with a God account, and just any deck that you can put together, you have the cards for, you're able to use. So you don't actually have to pick up rent anything. You do still have to pay for the event entries, but all the cards are just on your account. So that's $25. It started today. So I'm definitely picking that up. Yeah, I believe so.
Oh,
today
Jesus.
So I don't have that big of a collection, and obviously, as a lot of people know, all the pre-modern cards are spiking like crazy right now. You know, Parallax Tide is $80 or whatever, right, which is insane. But hopefully Daybreak will hear and, you know, start releasing like another Masters set or whatever in the future. But until then, check out the All Access Pass. $25 gets you every card for the period of time that it is. I don't know exactly how long. It says right here, 16 days. So yeah, so it lasts until Friday, January 2nd. Cool. So anyways, just my plug to get more people playing on Modo. But other than that,
I think that's a wrap, baby.
Excellent. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your day.
Yeah. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye.